This is Sharp Money with Patrick Maher and Mike Somich on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Sharp Money on a Thursday, week 11 kicks off tonight. Jets, New England, Mike Somich. I'm Patrick Maher. If you're looking to sharpen your edge across all sports, VSiN Pro, you got to start, man. Listen, we got Opta AI, not just with the props in football, but also killing it in the NBA. You can try it out right now, $9.99 for the first month, and see what smart bettors are using daily. Go to vsin.com/subscribe for your options. What up, Samo? How are we doing?
We're doing good, Patrick. Doing good. I can't believe we are already 11 weeks into this.
Yeah, it's depressing.
Season. Feels like it's flying by. But you know what's not depressing? The slate this week. We the last couple weeks, haven't had any bangers. We've got some bangers on Sunday. I cannot wait for this Sunday of football.
Yeah, and it starts with a banger tonight. Jets, New England, which we'll save. That is up to 13.5 over at Pinnacle. So let's get it started with your Dolphins in Spain. Washington, Miami. I don't know if we're on the opposite side here, but I freaking love the Dolphins in this spot. They've scored 30-plus in two of their last three. A defense in Washington that's in disarray. Obviously, no Daniels. And it is 2.5. Pinnacle is 3. Pinnacle is the one shop showing 3 with Miami laying it.
We are not on opposite sides. I've not bet the game yet, though. So I know that you like the Dolphins here. You like laying it with this Finns team. This is a really bad Commanders team. They've lost 4 weeks in a row by 20-plus points. Now they've got to go to Spain and see if they can figure this out overseas. I'm a little concerned about the spot for the Dolphins coming off of a monster win against Buffalo. We saw Buffalo come off a win against Kansas City, really struggle. This is a similar situation where you've got the Dolphins coming off of one of those season-defining wins, especially when you're really struggling, and now you've got to go on the road and win a game that you're supposed to win. And I realize it's a neutral site game, but you're still flying across the pond to play there in Madrid. It's Dolphins or pass for me, but you know, Patrick, if I'm going to attack this, laying the 2.5 is fine, but I would almost look toward how can we buy into the idea that we're going to get good Miami here. If you lay 7.5 with Miami, you're getting +211, right? If you lay 9.5 with Miami, you're getting +250. I would almost look to the alt side of this, because if it goes bad for Washington and Miami shows up with the game that we saw last week, this is going to be a double-digit difference. It's not going to be 3 points, right? And so I would almost lean into the variance that's here and look at alt lines for Miami if you really like them.
Yeah, I get the spot angle. They're coming off a huge upset. I do think that there's like a little bit of delusion there with Greer gone that, hey, we're still in this playoff race. McDaniel might keep his job. You know, you understand what I'm saying. I think they win by 10 here. I think 2.5 is a gift. And I will take the Dolphins, who are, since Tyreek got injured, they're running the football. And Washington is a freaking disaster. There's just no other way to put it. Defensively, they've got nothing, Mike, nothing.
No, the defense is an absolute mess. Still no Terry McLaurin in there. So, you got all of these different pieces that are missing from this Washington puzzle, and it's been a problem for them all season. They don't have a legitimate running game. I'm sure they would love to have Brian Robinson Jr. back on this squad, but they moved him to San Francisco before the season started. Bill, just not been what we were hoping for. Now you're seeing Chris Rodriguez start to get some snaps inside that backfield. Just not a lot going well for this Commanders team, and you flip it around, the Dolphins' defensive line, which was much maligned early in the season, the second-worst run defense through 5 weeks, all of a sudden has figured out how to play again. And this is a talented defensive line. It just was not meeting expectations. The last few weeks, they've met expectations. And if you see Tua be able to get the ball out on time and in rhythm, which shouldn't be a problem against this Commanders defense, then Waddle should have a big game. I think Malik Washington's interesting here as well from a big game perspective. A-Chain should be able to run the ball. I mean, it all kind of falls into place here for this Dolphins team. The big question is, can they get up after that Bills win and come out and play with the intensity they need to be able to just take care of business?
Football is everything. The sweatshirt says so. The hoodie there with Somich. Let's see if they agree with that in Spain. Madrid, my goodness.
Different
453, different type of football. 453, Green Bay is at the Giants, so a lot happening. Daboll fired. Watch out for that interim bump. I think Kafka, I think he might get the job. He's going to have a 7-week runway of building narratives that everything's going right. His first decision, bench Wilson and start Winston. I get confused. So he's going to start Jameis Winston here. Green Bay, that's your team. Go ahead, figure him out. The Monday night was a disaster, and they're laying 7 at the Giants.
I legitimately cannot figure them out, Patrick. And I think that's one of the biggest struggles here, because when the defense plays well, the offense sucks. when the offense sucks, the defense, like, it's just they can't get both sides of the ball to put a good football game together at the exact same time since week one against Detroit when they look like a Super Bowl contender. However, that is literally 9 weeks in the background now. Like, we're not, it's not even in the rearview mirror anymore at this point. I still love the idea of them, where it's like, if we can get both sides of the football to play consistently together, this is going to be a really good football team. At just some point, you have to say, I don't believe that you're going to be able to figure it out, because it's been so just hit or miss with this team. And it feels like the Packers are a team that is playing to their competition. When they face good teams, they play pretty well. When they face bad teams, they don't really try. They play down to that level of competition. Here we go. We've got the Giants, a team they are clearly better than on paper. The real question is, what effort are you going to get? I actually think this is going to be a good effort. Like, I kind of like this spot for the Packers, and a get-well spot against a bad Giants defense.
I agree.
Coming off of a loss that they probably could have won against Philadelphia in a game that, like, was an absolute mess and just a hideous football game to watch. This is one of those spots where Jordan Love should be able to throw for 250, 300 yards. You're going to have receivers open down the field. You're going to be able to run the ball with Jacobs. Your defense is taking on Jameis Winston, who, for everything I love about Jameis Winston, a wildly fun dude, both in interviews and on the field, he's going to give you opportunities to be able to take the football away. This is a Green Bay defense that should be able to turn over Winston multiple times. I like the Packers here. I have not laid the 7 yet. I was hoping at some point the 6.5 would pop. It doesn't look like it's going to. It's another one where I might actually sell up a little bit, lay 8, try and get a little bit of a plus money price here to give away the key number, because I think the Packers, if they show up, I think they have a shot at winning by 2 touchdowns.
I agree with everything you said except Winston. He's insufferable. Oh, the
really?
Phoniness. Oh, the plastic. Oh. Go back, Google him in college. He's not a great guy.
What, no.
No.
Keep your crab legs away from him.
And women. Allegedly. So here's what I will say. I love everything about this. If the defense that played against Philly carries over on a short week against Pixton and the Giants, I just cannot trifle with that first interim week with a coach. How much effort are the Giants going to give? They can keep it within that number. I'll lay off it, but I agree with everything you said about the Packers. 4:55, Tampa Bay's at Buffalo. I'm out on Buffalo, but I can't be. Michael's Patriots just proved the injuries still. We have no timetable on Bucky Irving. We have no timetable on Godwin. It is a mess in Tampa right now. And Buffalo, I think, is 6 opener. 5.5s are showing, but still 6s as well.
Yeah, this has been a fascinating week in Tampa, because we saw Bucky Irving and Chris Godwin at practice on Wednesday. Both of them had limited practices, so they were trending toward possibly playing. We did have the coach come out for Tampa and say Bucky Irving probably next week, not this week, which absolutely matters for this Bucs team, by the way, because Buffalo's run defense has not been great. If Bucky Irving's out there, it feels like you're going to able to really exploit that run defense. When it's Rashad White, when it's Sean Tucker, I'm not as worried about this Bills run defense. All that being said, 6 is too much, Patrick. Like, this game should be sitting somewhere around 4 when I go through my numbers and kind of adjust for everything. If we end up with Godwin and Irving, or just Godwin or just Irving, then great. I get the advantage there. If it sits as is, I still think Tampa Bay is the right side. So I took the 6 with the Bucks here.
Yeah, they've been dominant, the Bills, in this spot. They've got a bounce back. Both teams lost, but since the start of 2023, the Bills are 9-0 playing at home, 1 p.m. games. Do with that what you will. I think I would take the 6 if I'm talking Tampa. I think I'd lay the 5.5, so I don't love either side. I do see it like a 30-20-ish score, so the total is sitting 47, so maybe I'd lean tick to the over there. Cincinnati coming off their bye, 4:57 at Pittsburgh. Pittsburgh coming off their performance, whatever you call that, on Sunday night with your buddy Aaron Rodgers. And yes, they are buddies. I want sharp money listeners to understand that Samich and Rodgers are friends.
Yeah.
Here we go. Pittsburgh's laying 5.5, hosting Cincinnati.
Met him in an ayahuasca festival a couple of years back.
Congrats, man.
Ever since, right?
Good for you.
That's actually more your vibe. I would think that you and Rodgers would be buddies more than me and Rodgers.
Hey, I like to go to different regions of the brain, brother.
We'll leave that one alone.
Yes, sir.
This is a rematch of a Thursday night football game that was an absolute mess, where the Bengals ended up winning that game with a last-second field goal. We saw Ja'Marr Chase get every target in the world, and the Bengals offense have success doing so. The Steelers, since then, they've been fine, but I mean, this is still one of the more fraudulent teams on the Steelers that I believe we have inside the NFL. Rodgers is cooked. Last week, we kind of finally saw him really struggle with that, but this is not a bad matchup for Aaron Rodgers, because you've got a bad Cincinnati defense that cannot rush the passer. Aaron Rodgers, when he sits in the pocket and he's got time, he has the arm talent to still be able to deliver the football. It's when you start forcing him to move, when he's got to go around, when he doesn't, when he's set up in third and long situations, that this offense just doesn't have the juice to be able to get it done. I stayed away from this one. It would be dog or pass for me, but I did not want to click the Bengals at 5.5 in a revenge spot here for the Steelers. It would be over a pass for me at 49.5. I don't like betting the Steelers team to the over because of this offense, so I did not get to the window on either the dog or the over here. But I do have some props here with T. Hilton. I want to go over his reception yards. This is one of those situations where we saw Ja'Marr Chase get fed in that first game. If you are the Steelers, the number one thing that you should be worried about here is Ja'Marr Chase getting the football. If that's the case, it should set up for T. Higgins to have a big day. He's sitting at 60.5 receiving yards. Let's take the over there, Patrick.
So this is a Week 7 rematch, and it's the exact same number. Bengals were at home catching 5.5. They're on the road catching 5.5, Pittsburgh. The only difference here, obviously, the Bengals won straight up 33-31. So by my math, that is 64 points. And Flacco had 342 passing yards. Let's take a look at the total. 48.5 up to 49.5. Will we see 50-plus points?
I mean, I think we could. We have to watch the weather here. Now that we're late or into November here, weather becomes a pretty big factor. Winds are blowing 15-mile-per-hour sustained during the game. We may have up to 30-mile-per-hour winds, though the precipitation that was expected was going to be earlier. It's going to be a colder day there in Pittsburgh as well. All of that kind of points me to not wanting to just absolutely jump on the over. When you think about that game, though. You had the Freiermuth 80-yard touchdown. Like, there are certain things that happen in that game that I don't think are replicatable. And because of that, it makes me hard to want to just jump on a quote-unquote obvious over here between two teams that have already gone over. And the fact that we're in Pittsburgh, not on Cincinnati, also pushes me toward the under. So I ended up passing on it. I do agree with, I have a lean toward the over, but when you combine the weather, the stadium, and the Pittsburgh offense, it makes me want to just pass the game.
Yeah, new bettors, to Mike's point, they're not concerned about rain, snow, they're concerned about win. So when you start to see win, look at those props, look at the totals, and especially 12-plus, look to the unders generally, and that's not a blanket statement. 459, Houston's at Tennessee. 7.5 opener, somewhere around there. It's been bet down. Tennessee getting some love here. I don't quite get it. FanDuel's down to 5.5. You go to FanDuel and bet the 5.5. This is going to be a workmanlike. This is Houston. Think Houston when they went to Baltimore. Houston's defense should be enough to do what they need to do against this Tennessee team, and 5.5 feels short.
It does feel short. Another rematch. These two teams played earlier in the season, and the Texans absolutely dominated them on the defensive side. Now, offensively, they only put up 26. The majority of those coming in the second half was just 6-0 at half. I don't see why the Texans' defense can't replicate that performance, though. I'm not saying they're going to shut them out, but I would be surprised if we see this Titans team get into double digits in this spot. And on the other side, we saw Davis Mills come in. The reason this number's gone down is people were expecting C.J. Stroud. And he's not going to play for a second week in a row because of a concussion. I don't know how big of a difference he just
made. I'm not downgrading that offense much with Davis Mills.
I also think Woody Marks showed he had quite a bit of juice. This is a Texans team that should be able to run the football against the Titans here. I agree with you. Go to FanDuel, lay the 5.5.
Yeah. Next one up, Chicago is at Minnesota. Minnesota, 2.5 opener, 2.5 mostly. You can find plenty of threes. Pardon me, if you like Chicago. I do like Chicago. I think Chicago wins the game on the field in Minnesota, so obviously I'm going to take the 3, the most important number.
Yeah, it would be the Bears or pass here. I was actually a little surprised this stayed at 3. I thought this would go to like that 1.5, 2-ish range. I thought we would get Bears money, and it's just not coming in the market on the side as aggressively as I expected here. This is a Vikings team where J.J. McCarthy... Well, 2 weeks ago, I'm like, well, he was able to get through his progressions faster. He wasn't a half second late on the throws. All of those problems came back last week, every single one of them. And it was, again, a situation where he just wasn't as decisive as he needed to be. And now you're taking on a Bears team, which especially early in games has been clicking on the offensive side. We saw Caleb Williams play well late in the game. This is a two-headed running attack with Swift and Menungai that should be able to move the football on the ground against this Vikings defense. I kind of lean toward the under here, but I agree with you. I do think it is Bears or pass.
The offense is really good, obviously. Ben Johnson and the Caleb haters, Samo, a little quieter.
He's still not good. He's still not good, Patrick.
I think he's good.
I wish we could define good. That's one of the hardest things to do, is define what is good. As
what are you, Nietzsche? You want to go philosophy on me?
Yeah, what's good? Top 10?
Schopenhauer showed up. What is good? Yeah. What is good? Let's see. No, I love Chicago in the game. Honestly, I think Minnesota, JJ, whatever happened to Detroit coming off their bye, and JJ, who the numbers were horrific, and we're giving him a lot of credit for the big back shoulder throw to finish the game. Kid stinks. He is not going to be a big time NFL starter. I have eyeballs.
Yeah. Aren't wrong.
He's not good, man.
Neither is Caleb Williams. And we'll get there eventually with
you. Wowzers.
He's inaccurate downfield. He does not, we're going to have the all fraud bowl next week, Patrick. Are you excited?
Yes.
Yeah. Bears, Steelers, baby. Frauds on frauds on frauds. The winner has to play the Broncos.
That's me holding my breath starting now. I can't wait. Carolina at Atlanta. The kick both these teams out the league. 463, division game. Obviously, we saw this game earlier, a 30-0 shutout in Carolina of Atlanta, where Atlanta was just a mess. Now we've got Atlanta laying the 3.5, 42.5 on the total.
I promise there will be bangers coming. We have not gotten to them yet.
Yeah, waiting for those.
There are some good games this weekend.
Divisional games.
Wait till the afternoon slate. It's got to be Panthers or pass here, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they blew the doors off of an Atlanta team. And to be fair, there were some funky things. The box score did not actually say 30-0 Panthers. It was a closer game than that. But at the same time, it's a Carolina team that's going to be able to run the football against Atlanta. And it's an Atlanta team that's probably going to struggle to run the football against Carolina. That means this game is in Penix's hands. If this game is in either quarterback's hands, Bryce Young or Penix, I'm not excited about that side. Again, not at the window yet, but it would be Panthers or pass for me.
You know how I always harp on Raheem Morris? Because
I love him.
Well, no, just here's the reason why. Despite terrible metrics, the Panthers are 5-5. Despite pretty good metrics, the Atlanta Falcons are not a very good football team. So I kind of think that has a little bit to do with coaching, especially in-game and just game management. I don't think he's a very good coach. And they're coming back, correct me if I'm wrong, from Berlin.
They are. Short week here, long travel.
I'm not playing the game, but you have to take the 3.5 in division. Okay, Samo, 463, Carolina at Atlanta, on to 465, Chargers, Jacksonville, 465. It's up to 3, so one opener with the Chargers all the way up to 3 on the road at Jacksonville.
Yeah, I don't disagree with the direction of the move. We might be getting
a little
rich, though, right? I mean, going to 2.5, I thought kind of made sense here. You've got a Chargers team that is significantly better rushing the passer than Jacksonville. And Jacksonville, the one weakness you can take advantage of on this Chargers team is their offensive line. If Jacksonville able to create pressure, makes it life difficult for Herbert. But this is a defense in Jacksonville that was really relying on turnovers early in the season. They've not been able to get them. Your Raheem Morris feelings echo my Trevor Lawrence feelings. I think he's a donk. I'm not sold on him. I don't see how this is going to go well for this Jacksonville team long term. No Travis Hunter. The Brian Thomas Jr. thing is still an absolute train wreck. Don't like their running backs. So I directionally agree with the move. I'm worried we've gotten too rich. 3 is too much for me to want to lay it here on the road for a Chargers team that's traveling cross-country for, I believe, the fourth time already this year. So I'm going to pass on the game, but it would be Chargers or pass for me. And if we get the 2.5s, I may end up on the Chargers here.
Yeah, the 3 is it's Jacksonville at 3 or pass for me at home. I don't, again, Chargers without the two tackles is what we keep on harping on, but it's going to be continuing to be a big conversation point with the defense playing really, really well, if we're being fair, which they did the last time we saw them in primetime.
This could become an under team too with the Chargers.
That's a good point.
If you see a team that can rush the passer well, it's going to make Herbert's life miserable. You don't have an elite running back there for the Chargers. It's Vidal and then not much behind him. So I don't mind looking toward Chargers unders, when you get the right matchup. To me, this isn't necessarily the right matchup because Jacksonville's defense is they are gettable.
Can you say game of the year here in Los Angeles? In division, yes. Seattle at the Rams. I didn't think it'd get to three. It's everywhere three, which surprises me, and that's an automatic fire on Seattle for me. Open 2.5 Rams. It's three everywhere. I'll take Seattle catching the three.
Well, Patrick, I see a 3.5 at ESPN bet.
Well, then I'll take exist? I thought that folded.
They exist until the end of the month, I believe, and then they're going to fold into something.
Well, hurry up and get the 3.5 before the end of the month.
So if the 3.5 is available, go ahead, get the Seahawks plus the 3.5. I like the 3 as well. I'm surprised this is moving this heavily in this direction. I have Seattle as my number one rated power ranking team in the NFL this week, which is not what I expected when we were starting the season, but I believe in regular season Sam Darnold. Do I think that playoff Sam Darnold is going to be a great experience? I'm not sure. But regular season Sam Darnold has been wildly effective. The game last week against Arizona where they just blow the doors off, throw two passes in the second half, I thought was very impressive. I like this defense for Seattle more than I like the Rams defense. I caught some flack yesterday for mentioning that on VSiN Primetime, but I think this is a top three unit on the Seattle defensive side. Yes, there's some secondary issues. We'll see if we get anybody back for this game. There's a couple pieces still questionable. Sounds like we are going to have Davante Adams in there for the Rams, so that's obviously good news. But this Seattle offense, I don't think, is getting enough love at this point. With what they're doing up front, with Lucas Cross and Zabelou all playing exceptionally well, we saw Smith and Jigba have another big game. Walker and Charbonnet both running the football well. And then you add in Shahid, who only ran, I think it was like 20% of the routes, only ran 8 routes in that game. Now, they only, again, threw the ball 12 times, so it's not that like they ran that many passing plays. I think he is going to be a big part of this once they actually need him to be. I think that might be this week. I like the Seahawks quite a bit. Money line and plus the 3.
Yeah, feels like a 3-point game either way, right? So I have to take the 3.5 over at ESPN Bet. 86% completion percentage for Darnold the last 2 weeks. That's
good.
Insane.
That's good.
And the defense is nasty. Nasty. These are the two best teams in the NFC, and it's really, for me, it's not close.
Yeah, it's fascinating. If you go over to the futures tabs, right, and you look at number one seed in the NFC, the current favorite in the market is the Philadelphia Eagles. The fourth favorite is the Detroit Lions. They're playing each other this week. We'll get to that game shortly. The second favorite, the Rams. The third favorite, the Seahawks. So we have the best four teams in the NFC playing each other this week. This is one of those games, and this means a lot because you need to win the NFC West if you're both of these teams and you want to try and make a Super Bowl run because you don't want to end up being the 5.
The tired trope that the Eagles are the champs and you have to knock off the champs so you put them at 1, that's not how a gambler should approach. That's not how a bettor should approach a vacuum.
I agree.
What are you watching this year? And if you want to change it once the rubber hits the road in the postseason, go for it. You know, Philly doesn't turn the football over. They've been tremendous. I understand. The two best teams I've watched are these two, the Rams and the Seahawks.
You're correct. And I think one of the reasons that we're seeing the price set up where it is because the Eagles have that Lions game at home. After that, it's Cowboys, Bears, Chargers, Raiders, Commanders twice, and then the Bills. One more difficult game, and it's at Buffalo. Outside of that, it's pretty easy sailing here for the Philadelphia team coming home. And the unfortunate part for the Rams and the Eagles is they're in the NFC West, which is a very good division. Like, all four teams can beat each other inside that division, and it makes those schedules a little tougher coming home.
Speaking of the division, 469, San Francisco heads to Arizona. San Francisco up to 3, laying it on the road. It will be Mac Jones v. Jacoby Brissett.
Yeah, it will. And I like the over here. I don't need the good quarterbacks. I don't need the good quarterbacks, Patrick. I just need these defenses to continue to play like they are. Because right now, both of these defenses are gettable. Ricky Pearsall back at practice for the Niners. We'll see if he's going to be inserted back in. But you have enough weapons there in San Francisco to be able to distribute the football and move the football against, again, a defense that is missing multiple cornerbacks in Arizona. Passing game should be open. McCaffrey should be able to have a big game here. And you flip it to the other side, Jacoby Brissett just playing better than Kyler Murray.
Yep.
It has been for weeks now. And this is a San Francisco defense that is just keeps getting more and more injured every single week. There's no real pass rush. There's no real pass coverage down the field. This feels like a track meet to me. I'll take the over 48.5. I wanted to wait around for 48. I just don't think it's ever coming.
Yeah, if this doesn't get to 50, I'd be really surprised, and you're looking at 48.5. So I agree with you there. 471, Baltimore at Cleveland. Baltimore, no surprise. Pinnacle, Sharpbook showing 8.5. Everybody else is showing Baltimore 7.5.
Yeah, shocker here. Weather in Cleveland this week. We're going to have winds coming off the lake sustained at 20 miles per hour with gusts up to 30 or 40 miles per hour. May die down a little bit in the late game, but it looks like the majority of this game is going to be played at 20 mile per hour plus winds. I guess that favors Baltimore. What it really favors is the under. If you want to be a totals player and look toward the under, I don't know about you. And we had Lamar Jackson show up on the injury report again here. This time it's a knee, so a different injury than what we saw him miss multiple games with. I just don't see Lamar running the football that much here, which means it's a lot of Derrick Henry. It's a lot of throwing to Mark Andrews for the Baltimore offense to be able to move the ball. On the other side, you're going to get as much Quinshon Judkins as you can handle until this game gets out of hand. I realize the total is pretty low here, 38.5. There is some juice to the over, so if you want to wait it out, see if you can get a better number, go for it. But I like the under here, Patrick.
I like the under 39.5 at FanDuel right now while recording sharp money on a Thursday. So, yeah, Cleveland, worst offense in football?
No, Tennessee still gets that
fair
mantle.
But you had to think about it.
Yeah, but they're there. Like, they're in the conversation. They're like, what are you afraid of on Tennessee, right?
That's true.
At least you have, like, Judy can make plays. Quinshon Judkins can bust a run out. You've got Fannin. You've got Njoku at tight end. Like, there's at least pieces that excite me on Cleveland. There's nothing that excites me with Tennessee.
473 Kansas, great game. You said bangers. Here it is. 473 Kansas City coming off their bye at Denver. Kansas City is 3.5 at the two public books, FanDuel and DraftKings, and 4 everywhere else. Interesting. Think it would be inversed.
Yeah, you would. You would, wouldn't you? That you would be getting the public money on Kansas City and the sharper money on Denver here. Total all over the place. We'd say there's a 44.5 all the way up to 45.5. 45 is a key number, so depending on what you like there, under or over, you can get either side of that key. I haven't bet this game. I would love to get a 3 with Kansas City. That was the look ahead, and I didn't get it in the account. If that shows back up, I'm a Kansas City backer here. If it stays at 3.5, I'm probably playing Kansas City alt numbers and just going to lay like 7.5, 6.5, and just try and get a better price than the 3.5 number, because it feels like either Kansas City blows the doors off them or this is a very close Denver win.
Yeah, we know Reed historically off a bye has been dominant. I'm not buying Denver. Obviously, I'm late to the party on Bo Nix might stink as well. If I had to, 3.5, but I wouldn't touch it. 475, Detroit at Philly. This is going to be a play for me. You can find a 3, circa showing 3, with Detroit, which is a gift to me. I will take Detroit catching that 3. Campbell takes over the play calling duties, and what did he do? He ran for, you know, over 240 yards. They're going to continue to do that, and I understand Philly's defense is tremendous, made additions at the trade deadline. It's going to be a great game. I would expect Philly professionally to stay in this, but I like Detroit catching the 3.
I actually bet Detroit plus 1.5 last week because I thought this would move against Philadelphia based on the games they had last week. We've seen money coming the other way. We'll see where this ends up. If you are available to bet at Circa, take the 3 now. I don't think that 3 is going to last very long. I think this actually ends up kicking off closer to 2 when all the money comes in over the weekend. I agree with you, man. Like, this is a Philadelphia team which they're kind of like the Packers in a way that they're just not impressive. You look at the roster, the talent is there. They should be good on defense. They should be able to move the football through the air, should be able to move it on the ground. But you just don't see that consistency from Philadelphia that you want to see. And it means that they end up in a bunch of closer games. You look over at the other side. This is a team in Detroit where I do think that they are very good, both defensively and offensively. And they caught a break in this spot as well, as we're talked about weather all over the place. Right now, no weather in Philly, which is something that, that obviously matters for someone like Jared Goff when going outdoors. So catch a break here with the weather. I think that plays into Detroit's hands. I do think they run the football well. I like Montgomery in this spot to get a touchdown. We saw Gibbs go nuts. Everyone seems to be forgetting about Montgomery. And if you look at the touchdown score prices, you're also seeing that in the market where he is plus 150 to get into the end zone and Gibbs is minus 130. So give me Montgomery anytime touchdown. I like the Lions and I actually tease them up. You can get them at plus 2.5 readily available there. I tease them up with the Bears. So I took the Lions plus 8.5, Bears plus 8.5 in a 6-point teaser.
Yeah, part of the reason I think Campbell took over the play calling duties is to get J-Mo involved. For prop bettors, look at Jameson Williams. He is going to continue to be fed the football. Campbell loves him. You saw it against Washington. Monday night. Now, the NFL's in a tough spot. The networks are in a tough spot. I don't think they can start flexing until week 12, or this would be a flex. It's Dallas at Vegas, standalone on Monday night. However, Dallas is 3 if you want to lay it. Vegas is 3.5 if you want to take it.
Yeah, look, I kind of want to take it, Patrick.
I think I probably would too.
I don't trust this Dallas team at over a field goal. That's because this defense still stinks, right? Like we you have to remember this is still a very bad defense. And yes, it's a bad defense on the other side as well for the Raiders, but I see both these teams moving the football. If that's the case, I want the points. I like the over more.
I like the over.
It's a big number. But this is you're playing indoors on turf. This game should fly back and forth. I think that Las Vegas has success on the offensive side against a bad Dallas defense. Dallas has an advantage on the offensive side with their two wide receivers. So it's a big total, but I'd still lean toward the over here, Dallas and Vegas.
Yeah, find a 50 and go over. You're going to see a ton of points on Monday night. And that brings us back to the standalone tonight to kick off week 11, and that is the Jets at New England. The Jets are on a heater. They have won 2 straight, but it's not the heater that Michael's Patriots are on, which have won 7 straight. They're minus 260 in division with the game in hand against Buffalo. They are legitimately a team that could get the number one seed in the AFC. And the market agrees. Open 10.5. It's all the way up to 12.5, 13 with the Patriots laying it tonight at home.
I laid the Patriots at 10.5 when we talked on Sunday. I'm very happy with that bet. We'll see if it ends up playing out now that we have some CLV here. I would still lay the Patriots at 12.5. 13, we're starting to get a little frisky there as 13 does fall more often than 12 or 11 does. I don't see how the Jets are stopping this offense for New England. If Drake May plays to the level that he can, I think he has success. Now, the one thing that's been Drake May's bugaboo this year, he has struggled against the blitz in some spots. I expect Aaron Glenn going to come after him. So if he is struggles against the blitz, maybe the Jets able to keep this close. But you flip it around, it's like, how are the Jets moving the football? Right? This is one of the best run defenses in the NFL, and Justin Fields is your quarterback. He's not throwing for 250, right? And that's what he's going to need to do to be able to keep this Jets team in the game. The only reason they won last week was special teams, a kickoff return and a punt return. Maybe the special teams get going again, but it feels like this is a tough hill to climb. And we have not had this situation yet, Patrick, but this is also a rookie head coach on his first Thursday night game, which has been one of the most successful trends the last couple years, is these first-time Thursday night coaches have absolutely failed. I'll go ahead. I'll play into that. I'll play the Patriots here minus the 12.5.
Yeah, probably the best pass defense that the Jets will have faced as well without Garrett Wilson. I don't see how they can do anything. The 10.5, you're not getting the best of it, that's for sure. But if we're forced to make a pick right now, I would find a 12.5 FanDuel and DraftKings and lay it with the Patriots. Who I can, I think it's this is kind of a business-like kickoff to week 11 for Patricia. My gosh, you're lucky, Michael, it's not Matt Patricia. Mike Vrabel, I think this is like, hey, let's focus here. This team has won 2 in a row. It is a division game. We can still grab that number one seed if that's on the board at this point. 12.5, I'd lay it.
Yeah, I think the Bills loss actually is a good thing for this Patriots team. It serves as extra motivation going here on the short week against a team they're expected to beat. You can kind of bang the narrative drum of just take care of business and we are the number one seed in the AFC. It gives you that extra piece that you need because they beat Buffalo and Buffalo. Buffalo has to come to Foxborough later in the season, and this New England schedule really only has 2 tough games left. So if you just take care of business, we could be staring at a 13-14 win Patriots team.
So the theme week 12, a lot of divisional matchups yet, including Seattle, the Rams, and we have Kansas City, Denver. The 3 big ones are Seattle, at the Rams, Kansas City at Denver, and Detroit at Philly.
Yeah, awesome divisional matchups. Going to play a large portion into, or large part into, the both the number one seed in the NFC as well as the NFC West division winner. If you like Seattle, if like at least consider touching them up for number one in the NFC or to win the division. Right now they're plus 130 to win the division. I like the Seattle team quite a bit. I'm not sure they are successful once we get into the playoffs, but I do think this is a team that's going to have a successful regular season. So I think this is going to be a fascinating week just from a divisional perspective. And I love this afternoon slate. Afternoon slate is Seahawks-Rams, Cardinals-49ers, Browns-Ravens, which probably going to be ugly but could be very interesting, and Chiefs-Broncos. I mean, that's two
it's
very
as good as
games
it gets, yeah.
with one fun game and one game that could be entertaining.
Mike mentioned it's weather season. Don't do anything until you sign up for the newsletter, because you'll wake up on Sunday. There's no obligation. You'll have a weather report there. Go to vsin.com/newsletter. Again, it's no obligation, free. Just enter your email address. It'll be there when you wake up in the morning, starting tomorrow and certainly on Sunday. Samo, that's it. I'll see you Sunday night.
Sounds good, my man. Have a good one.
Sharp Money, wherever you find your podcast. We'll see you Sunday night.